Morning again. I changed the message that I had prepared for this week because of the situations that we're in today. And I just ask for the Lord's grace and help as I bring this message to you all. Sometimes it's good to look at what others have gone through, difficulties that others have gone through, so that we can have, we can see how the Lord had worked through their lives. And so I looked at the story of Horatio and Anna Spafford. Horatio Spafford is the fellow who wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Bear with me as I read his story. I think I'm going to read a little more than what we generally hear regarding his story, and Anna's as well. Horatio Gates Spafford was born in New York on the 20th of October, 1828, but it was in Chicago that he became well known for his clear Christian testimony. He and his wife Anna were active in their church, and their home was always open to visitors. They counted the world-famous evangelist Dwight L. Moody among their friends. They were blessed with five children and considerable wealth. Horatio was a lawyer and owned a great deal of property in his home city. Not unlike Job in the Old Testament of the Bible, tragedy came in great measure to this happy home. When 4 years old, their son Horatio Jr. died suddenly of scarlet fever. Then only a year later, in October 1871, a massive fire swept through downtown Chicago, devastating the city, including many of the properties owned by Horatio. That day, almost 300 people lost their lives and around 100,000 were made homeless. Despite their own substantial financial loss, the Spaffords sought to demonstrate the love of Christ by assisting those who were grief-stricken and in great need. 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford decided his family should take a holiday in England, knowing that his friend, the evangelist Dwight L. Moody, would be preaching there in the autumn. Horatio was delayed because of business, so he sent his family ahead. His wife and their four remaining children, all daughters, 11-year-old Anna, 9-year-old Margaret Lee, 5-year-old Elizabeth, and 2-year-old Tanita. On the 22nd of November, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic on the steamship Ville du Havre, their vessel was struck by an iron sailing ship. 226 people lost their lives as the Ville du Havre sank within only 12 minutes. All four of Horatio Spafford's daughters perished, but remarkably, Anna Spafford survived the tragedy. Those rescued, including Anna, who was found unconscious floating on a plank of wood, subsequently arrived in Cardiff, South Wales. Upon arrival there, Anna immediately sent a telegram to her husband, which included the words, "Saved alone." Receiving Anna's message, he set off at once to be reunited with his wife. One particular day during the voyage, the captain summoned him to the bridge of the vessel. Pointing to his chart, he explained that they were then passing over the very spot where the Ville du Havre had sunk and where his daughters had died. It is said that Spafford returned to his cabin and wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," there and then, the first line of which is, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." There are other accounts that say that it was written at a later date, but obviously the voyage was one of deep suffering and is the clear inspiration of the moving and well-loved hymn. Horatio's faith in God was never faltered. He later wrote to Anna's half-sister, "On Thursday last, we passed over the spot where she went down in mid-ocean, the waters 3 miles deep. But I do not think of our dear ones there. They are safe, dear lambs." After Anna was rescued, Pastor Nathaniel Weiss, one of the ministers traveling with the surviving group, remembered hearing Anna say, "God gave me four daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why." Naturally, Anna was utterly devastated, But she testified in her grief and despair that she had been conscious of a soft voice speaking to her, "You were saved for a purpose." She remembered something of a friend that had once said, "It is easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care that you are not a fair-weather friend to God." Following this deep tragedy, Anna gave birth to 3 more children. But she and Horatio were not spared even more sadness, as on February 11, 1880, their only son, Horatio, named after the brother who had died, and also after his father, had also died at the age of 4. In August 1881, the Spaffords left America with a number of other like-minded Christians and settled in Jerusalem. There they served the needy, helped the poor, and cared for the sick, and took in homeless children. Their desire was to show those living about them the love of Jesus. Horatio Spafford died of malaria on the 16th of October, 1888. Anna Spafford continued to work in the surrounding areas of Jerusalem until her own death in 1923. Both Horatio and Anna were laid to rest in Jerusalem. It can truly be said in the words that Spafford penned that it is well with their souls. The question remains, is it also well with yours? So grief and sorrow are part of life. Most of us are in shock and mourn deeply at the loss of our brother, Alwyn. Since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, death and suffering has been part of life. Sin entered the world at that time. All of us are affected and have to admit that we ourselves have sinned, broken his commands. It is only by receiving Jesus' free gift of salvation that we can avoid the consequences of our sin. We know that our brother Alwyn has received God's free gift and was living for Christ. We can be certain to see him again in heaven. Our sorrow is great at this temporary loss, but God is full of mercy and grace and does not leave us without consolation. His word is filled with help in such circumstances. I wish to read many scriptures to encourage us in this difficult time as we mourn the loss of our brother. We know that God will not leave us, and he will continue to be with us. Psalm 9, 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 18, 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Joshua 1, 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isaiah 40, 29 and 31. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 23, 1 to 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Our brother Alan has been preaching on this very psalm in his last few messages. It is very encouraging because it shows God is with us, no matter what the circumstances are. Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Lamentations 3, 31 to 32. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God also understands our circumstances and sorrow. He is able to comfort us. There are many psalms where we read of the psalmists who cry out in their time of trouble, grief, and sorrow. Through the grief, sorrow, and tears, God comes through and supplies his mercy and grace. Psalm 6:6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Psalm 31, 9-10. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. And here's a prayer that David prayed in his time of desperation. Psalm 25:16 and 17. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring me thou out of distresses. And in Ecclesiastes, we learn that there is a time for everything. It's okay to mourn, to cry out to God for help, to seek reprieve from him. Ecclesiastes 3, 1, 2, and 4. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus is able to understand our sorrow. John 11:33 to 35. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? Speaking of Lazarus. They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. There are purposes to the trials that we suffer. This was evident in the lives of the Spafford family. Even though they had many losses and sorrows, God supplied and continued to use them mightily for his kingdom. God's grace shining through the imperfect lives of his saints. This next verse implies this as well. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Then he will heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. The Lord has spoken it. Matthew 5:4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And Jesus said this in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. One of the reasons that he came was to heal the brokenhearted. He cares for the brokenhearted and draws near to them. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. As Christians, we know that there is more beyond this life. Jesus has purchased for us everlasting life. Our earnest expectation is to live with our Savior, our Lord, our Creator, forever. There is a lot to look forward to. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 11:25-26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Ecclesiastes 12:7, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." A place has been prepared for us in heaven. John 14:1-4, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, and the way ye know." John 16:22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Paul says that we are to encourage one another with the fact that Jesus is coming back for us, and there will be a great reunion in heaven with him and with all the saints that have gone forth before us. This earth is not our final resting place. It is merely a short stop on the journey. Philippians 3:20-21. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that we may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this precious present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And then we know also that God has a different perspective on death than we do. Psalm 116:15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." In closing, I would like to read the hymn that Horatio Spafford composed after the loss of his four daughters. "It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross. and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. And the refrain, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. What a wonderful hymn written by a man in deep sorrow.